This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Wednesday, August 6th edition of Invest Talk. We're talking about making the most of your money. That's what we all do on radio. We're live here. We're also live online. We're live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We also stream on investtalk.com. And, of course, you can subscribe to podcasts, our podcast, and get it anytime. Listen to whatever you want to. So we're here to do our best to help you, to aid you in investing in your skills, investing some time and develop your skills so that you can make money buying and selling and holding on to stocks, bonds, making dividends, whatever it is. You know, we're going to try to help you learn more about it. Now, as you probably know, I always meet with a lot of listeners one-on-one basis, and I talk to individuals and couples, and there are studies that show that I have found to be true that women and men have different risk tolerances. Of course, that doesn't apply to everyone, but generally it's true. Men tend to be more comfortable with risk than women. And actually, women turn out to be better investors. That's just the way it is. Study after study shows that. I'm not making this stuff up. So this can complicate things when I talk to couples and about retirement. Because both husband and wife have to be comfortable with the investment style, the approach, what kind of how you're going to grow your account and earn money. So really, it's kind of important that the husband and wife get on the same page. Now, discussions have to be you have to respect both views. You just can't just say, "Well, he or she doesn't know what they're talking about." That's not true. So it's good to have an open discussion about it. You really need to find some common ground for both of you. Remember, you men out there, you're probably going to die before your women. So bring them in on the conversation. They have to know what's going on. And you women, you know, you have to talk to your husband about this stuff. This is important stuff for both of you. Anyway, before we get started, let's go ahead and take a call. We call it the listener line. You can call it anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can ask a question. No matter what the question is, as long as it's money related, be happy to try to answer it. So let's go to the 24-hour listener line, and that number is 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Edwin from San Ramon. I would like to know about your take on CVX Chevron. Thank you.
Chevron, it's one of my favorite integrated huge oil companies. And 7CVX is the symbol, CVX. And it has been falling off its 52-week highs, like most stocks, and is now at $125 or so, and it was at about $135 a couple weeks ago. Okay, nothing unusual, just a normal pullback. You're having a pullback. People are so, you know, it cracks me up, people thinking this pullback we're having, oh, it's just terrible. It's barely even started, and is normal. This is not even a normal pullback yet. But we've been used to so much of a one-way market that any kind you get kind of weakness, you think it's something unusual, and it's not. Now, they're engaged in exploration, production, refining, and marketing of oil and gas in the United States, Chevron. They pay a 3.4% dividend, which I think is a pretty healthy dividend. Okay. It's not overly priced with a 12 PE. It's $125. They're going to make $11.38 next year. That's 5 cents more than last year. A little bit down this year, 2% down this year for earnings. And sales have been flat to a little bit weak in the last couple of years. Okay, so that's what they are. So you're going to buy this with a dividend because it pays a nice dividend. And the lower that price goes, the better that dividend will look. I like the stock. I think it should be one that you held in your portfolio, and you hold it for the dividend. And I would just wait a little bit, because you want to wait to see if it stopped falling. It went up 77 cents today, but it's been in a downstroke. Let it let it continue its downstroke before you decide to buy it. It may not continue, but at least you could wait till it turns sideways. Last February, it fell to $110. That would be ideal. Pick it up. You know, it's $125 now. If it goes to $110, shoot, I'd like that. I like the stock at that price. I really like it. I don't know if it's going there, but that's where I'd like to get it. Anyway, it's better to invest in high-yielding, slow-growing dividend stocks or low-yield, fast-growing dividend stocks. What's better? High-yielding, slow-growing dividend stocks or low-yield, fast-growing dividend stocks. Which is better? Dividend yield versus dividend growth. Which one is better? That's one of our main talking points today. And one we didn't get to yesterday, but I really would like to get to it by the end of the day if we can, is why should you stop buying bottled water? Remember we mentioned that yesterday and we just didn't get to it. Also, the fracking revolution continues to cut U.S. oil imports. It's helping our trade deficit. Discuss that in more detail today. And finally, the most popular gauge of world growth is useless. Well, I wouldn't say it's useless, but that's the name of the article I was reading. We're talking about GDP, gross domestic product. Why is that useless? The way it's reported, that's why. And we're going to discuss that in more detail. The market today was kind of flat. Did you notice that? It was Dow was up 14 points. The Nasdaq was up 2 and the S&P up 0. Okay, that was after it fell. You know, the Dow fell 139 points yesterday, and the Nasdaq fell 31 points yesterday, and the S&P fell 19. And today is virtually flat. So what's wrong with the market? Economic news is pretty good. Earnings news has been pretty good. Why? I mean, economic news has been better than expected for a number of weeks, all these reports. Now you're going to say, well, look at the turmoil in Russia, Ukraine. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that that's the cause of this weakness. The reason why I'm not buying it is because why didn't the Israeli and Palestine war in the last few weeks have an impact? And then when they stopped it with a ceasefire, that didn't have an impact, did it? What's going on in Russia and Ukraine? Well, that conflict is happening. I will say this. The sanctions that Europe imposed on Russia is going to hurt Europe more than Russia. And the sanctions that Russia is going to implement against Europe and the U.S. is going to hurt Europe way more than it hurts us. I think our trade with Russia, they're threatened to cut food imports to Russia. That cracks me. It cracks me up. Putin is such an idiot. He said he's going to implement sanctions, but he didn't want to hurt his people, his economy, his consumers, the people that live in Russia. And what is he sanctioning against Europe and us? Food. They import a lot of food in Russia because their system is so poorly managed that they can't really grow their own food very well. So who's that going to hurt? Certainly wouldn't hurt the upper class in Russia. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt the common people in Russia. I mean, he is such... I don't understand why people don't look at him much more as an evil type person. I think he's evil. I don't think he's got no interest of his people at heart at all. I don't think so. I don't. I think it's all about him. All about him. I think he's a narcissist. Just look what he does in his personal life. I think he's a narcissist. So, but sanctions are going to hurt Europe a lot more than hurt us. We export $1.5 billion of food to Russia. $300 million of it is chicken. And so, and I think Europe is like $14 billion from Europe to Russia. So it's going to hurt them. But who is it really going to hurt? The Russian people. I mean, they're not going to have the food choices they had before. And then, therefore, other food is going to be very expensive. The prices are going to rise. Or they're going to have to hoard it. Or they're going to have to, dole it out like they used to. Remember the old USSR model where The Russian citizens had to wait hours and hours in line just to get some bread. Maybe it's going to go back to that system. That worked really well. Any advice? This is the Invest Talk, everybody. Interested in cash flow income from real estate? It can be generated from well-run storage units, car washes, apartment buildings, office buildings, rental houses, and all kinds of things. Hospitals. It's really simple, but it's not easy. It's just simple. Want to talk about it? Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk continues on this Wednesday. Who should invest in a startup? That's the topic on the next Invest Talk. We want to encourage you to check in today, though, at 888-99-CHART with your question on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. That's our call. That's our number. You can give us a call. Let's talk to Ben in San Francisco. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listen to the show all the time.
Thank you.
I have a question about 401ks, and I don't know if this helps, but I'll just let you know that Fidelity manages my company's 401k.
Okay.
I don't know if that is different than the way other companies do it. And, you know, there's $17,500 a year that you can sock away. I mean, that's currently the limit.
Right.
You can sock away in either a Roth or, well, we have a Roth option in our 401k.
Okay.
Or pre-tax, you know, conventional, traditional, whatever.
Right.
And then, okay, so there's that limit, all right? And then what I've been doing lately is I've been exceeding that limit, going into what they call post-tax dollars, you know,
yes.
You've already paid your taxes on it, and it,
right.
There's a certain amount of spillover, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was told, okay, so I'm the kind of person that asks a lot of questions, which is part of the reason why I watch your show and call in, but I was told that, you know, that amount of money, there's a certain amount of that post-tax that actually, if you call into Fidelity down around the end of the year, you can Rothify it. In other words, it could be, you could kind of, sort of a loophole or a backdoor conversion of that money into a Roth vehicle, which really excited me. I was told this by someone on the phone.
That's probably true.
It sounds too good to be true.
But you're still subject to the limits amount. You know what I'm saying? You're still going to be subject to the limits.
Well, there's a limit. Okay. But
remember,
the guy made it sound like I could.
I don't know all the laws. I don't, because I'm not an expert on this area. But I can't see how you could not be subject to the limit of $17,500 in a regular 401k or a Roth 401k. Can you move it over to your Roth? Sure, you can move it over to your Roth. And yeah, it can grow. But that's like what you're putting extra into your regular IRA. You're just putting extra into your Roth. But there's going to be some kind of rules on the limits on that. And I don't know what they are, to be honest. I don't. So you just need to...
Okay, I just wondered if you had...
You need to talk to a tax
guy. I'd wondered if you had heard of that before. I'd wondered if you had heard about that before. It does sound too good to be true.
Yeah.
None of my friends seem to know about it. What the limits are is the guy... I asked even further questions about limits. So he told me that the total amount you can put in plus a company match cannot exceed $50,000 a year.
Yeah,
so you're getting matches.
Yeah, there's various limits, and then there's limits based on, you know, how much money they. Remember, we're talking about 401k. There's limits based on how the whole company as a whole, based on the number of employees. There's different categories of limits, and I don't know them all. So. You probably need to talk to a tax guy. And talking to the Fidelity person, Fidelity people are good, but you know, you're not going to be able to rely on them for you know, factual information. Yes, they probably know simple questions, but not all the stuff you're asking. I don't think so.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Appreciate it. We do our premium newsletter every week. Okay. Why not try it for a month? It's $10 a month. It comes out every Friday. Each Friday in email form.
Thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Steve and Justin want you to think of them as a ready resource for answers. They do devote a portion of their day to communicating with our listeners, answering their questions. If you do have a question that you'd like answered directly, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and they'll get right back to you with an answer. InvestTalk continues. There's a list of commodity ETFs available to our InvestTalk insiders. Sign up and get access to your copy right now on investtalk.com.
We're here for you, beginner or experienced investors, whoever you are. Our number is 888-99-CHART. Give us a call. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program, which is 4 to 5 Pacific time, like right now, you can still leave a question like Mark did in Los Angeles.
Yes, hi. I'm listening to your show here this evening with my son, who's 14 years old, and I'm trying to inspire him to learn how to invest in the stock market as well. We're both beginners, for that matter. I have not done a lot of investing myself. I would appreciate whatever beginning advice, perhaps, you care to pass along. Again, I appreciate listening to your show. Hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, very good question. Well, a couple of things I can tell you about the stock market. It's not a place where you can get rich quick. I know that you can get rich in the stock market, and you will. But if you think it's like gambling or you just guess at the right stock and I'll make a fortune, that's not the place for you. The stock market is buying companies. And as the company grows, so will your wealth by the price, stock of the price going up or throwing off dividend to you over long periods of time. Now, of course, there will be stocks that really do very, very well. But over long periods of time, you want to just keep investing, buying good companies that make money and grow their money and constantly pay a dividend. You'll be fine. And every once in a while, you can buy those high growth names, the Googles and the Netflixes and, you know, the Facebooks of the world. I'm not saying you can't, but it's a matter of managing a whole portfolio. So it's understanding how the market works. If you really want to understand how the market works, is you start reading. I know people don't like to read, but, you know, we have a book list on our website, investtalk.com, and I would start with some of the easier books. Peter Lynch has Beating the Street, which is very good. A couple of Peter Lynch is very easy, small books. My book is not a major book. It's for beginners, Above Average Risk, Investing for the Average Investor. These are all beginning books to try to help you learn, start to learn what investing is all about. I start there. And just keep listening to the show and other shows like this. But be very careful because there's a lot of hype out there. A lot. A lot of get-rich-quick thinking and scheming that are perfectly legal, but they don't work. I love it when people say, well, you know, these people have a system, and they're going to teach you how to the system, and you pay, you know, $4,000, and they'll teach you how to do this or that, you know, because it's charting, and you buy low and sell high, and or whatever it is. If it was so good, why would they be selling you $4,000 lessons when they can just do it themselves and become trillionaires if it's so good? Why don't they? That should be your first clue. There is no get rich quick. No secrets. No, there isn't. It's solid understanding, investing for the long term. That's what it is. Now, it doesn't mean you can't get better and better at it, and you'll be defensive at times and be more aggressive at times. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you're going to be rich, you know, it's a long-term game. It's a long-term investment. Long-term. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So do you buy growth of dividends or do you buy high dividend-yielding stocks? What's better? Well, high dividend-yielding stocks is better. Not grow the dividends. I mean, over the long haul, that has been the better approach. You do want growth of dividends, though. You really do. But I think a sprinkling of both elements is important. But, you know, you want high growth in stocks because that gives you capital appreciation. If it's a low-growth stock, you don't get a lot of capital appreciation. In other words, the price of the stocks don't go up. But you get that dividend, and over time, that dividend really adds up. So what should you do? Well, I'm thinking a combination of both. We've talked about dividends so often on this show because everybody's reaching for higher and higher dividends because they can't make anything on their CDs or, you know, bonds. They just can't make very much. And dividends seems to be the place to go because people are getting the impression that stock market only goes up, which I hope they don't believe because it doesn't. It goes in two directions. But the dividends are, you know, we've talked about it so often about the ability of the company to continue to pay the dividend. That's key. You want them to be able to continue to pay the dividend. If you buy a dividend stock and they stop paying the dividend next quarter, what good is that? You just, you know, that's not what you're after. So there are some stocks that continue to pay their dividend. There are stocks that pay their dividend for 100 years in a row. There are stocks that grow their dividend every year. Every year for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There are. So you're looking for that growth of the company and that dividend. That would be ideal. And long as the dividend is sustainable. And you've heard me talk about a 60% payout ratio. Payout ratio means if the company makes a dollar per share a year, they can't pay more than 60 cents in dividends to maintain that dividend. These are important concepts. You have to think about them. My individual portfolio reviews are really one of the favorite days of the month for me. Each and every person I meet with, individuals or families, or husband, wife, they all have a unique situation, kind of interesting, and we share ideas. I always share what I do and what I've done in my past. I'm not just there to get all the information from you. I don't mind sharing. My job is to help the best I can. And that's what I like to do. I do enjoy it. You can see the latest dates and locations that I meet with people just by going to investtalk.com.
What is investing on margin? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. You're listening to InvestTalk. Have you tried this investor learning tool, Stock Market Simulators, that lets you pick securities, make trades, and track the results, all without risking a penny? You have questions about those? Why not ask right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach through to InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Mark in San Mateo, who wants to discuss IBM. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I enjoy the InvestTalk program. With the recent pullback in equities, I was sitting on a little bit of cash, and I was considering IBM or Nike.
Okay. I like both companies. Both are solid companies. Nike is, of course, they're totally different businesses, right? I mean, I got IBM as the, you know, the IT consulting service company, huge, and Nike is the tennis shoe maker and clothes maker, and they're huge as well. Nike has much better growth prospects than IBM. I'll say that. Looking at IBM, it is pulling back off its high. It was cut to about 197 or so, 195. And now it's pulled back to 185, and it looks like it might go back to about 175. It's been there three or four times in the last year, so it'll probably go back then. Nike, looking at Nike, they're much less of a pullback, I mean, compared to other stocks. I mean, they were up, almost got to, what, 79.50 or so, and that's their top, right around $80. And it's been there three times in the last year, and it's only at $77. So their pullback's been much milder. And IBM is not growing its sales. It's growing its earnings, but not its sales. Whereas Nike's growing both sales and earnings about 10, 12%. Nike is a little bit more expensive in a PE ratio. If you're going to ask me which one I would buy, I would probably pick Nike in this situation. I don't know if I'd buy it today,
okay,
but that'd be the one I'd be interested in.
Yeah, so wait for a slight pullback. I saw that the dividend each quarter for IBM, I believe, is $1.10,
right.
But maybe the yield is not as big as Nike's. I don't know.
No, IBM's yield is 2.4% and Nike's is 1.2%. So IBM's dividend is better. And it's just as solid as Nike. And Nike's is also solid, so don't think it isn't. And both companies have insiders buying, which is interesting. The last year or two, insiders are buying. But there's a lot more insiders own Nike than IBM. I like Nike. I don't dislike
good.
IBM.
But, well, thank you for your insights.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can subscribe for free at iTunes. It's really simple. If you have a question for me, you can always ask at 888-99-CHART.
My name is Joe. I listen to the program on the computer. I'm from West Palm Beach, Florida. My question is your opinion on SFL, its dividend, and if I was to write cover calls, and that would give me a nice percentage of about maybe 15 to 20%, maybe even better. What's your opinion on doing that? Thank you.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that at all. If you can do it, it's not as simple as you make it sound. But it's great if you can do it. SFL, Ship Finance International, provides tanker transportation services for crude and refined oil products, dry bulk, and containerized cargoes. It's a $1.7 billion company, so it's not huge. It's not tiny, but it's pretty small. They're going to make $1.21 this year. That's 51% more than they made last year. They're going to make $1.59 next year. It's another 31% increase. But it's pretty erratic. Sales and earnings are erratic. In 2012, they made $1.79 a share. Then 2013, only 80 cents. Then this year, $1.21, and then next year, $1.59. So it's pretty erratic. And this most recent quarter, sales grew 27%. Last quarter, they shrank 8%. Quarter before that, shrank 8%. Quarter before that, they shrank 21%. You see, so it's kind of it's one of those stocks that can be pretty volatile. It's selling for $18, making $1.59, so it's not it's going to make $1.59. So it's not cheap. I mean, it's not expensive. It's not cheap. It's in there, you know, around 15, 18 PE, which is right. The dividend yield is 9.1%. Okay, 9.1% of an $18 stock. Okay, is what $1.50, $1.60, and it makes $1.59 next year. How's it going to pay that much money? How's it going to do that? See, there's where it lies your problem. You know, they increase their dividend twice in 2014, but that 9% probably not sustainable unless they can continue to grow like they grew last quarter. But they've shown in the last 2 years that they can't. They can't grow their sales enough to make enough earnings to pay that dividend. So how are they going to pay it? Well, in 2012 and 2013, they issued more stock. That's how you pay it. So I would be very concerned about that part. Remember, we want a 60% payout ratio. This one's 100% or more. Can't keep that up. Anyway, the most popular gauge of world growth is useless, and that's GDP. The GDP number. It's been around a while, and it's gross domestic product, and it gauges the amount of the income, or I don't want to say income, the economic activity. It's trying to measure the economic activity in the country. Okay, that's what it's trying to measure, and it does a pretty good job at that, I think. Okay, it does a pretty good job, but there's some problems with it. For instance, it can determine the growth or shrinkage of a nationwide economy, but it doesn't track the GDP growth or shrinkage or living standards of individuals. And to do that, you need the GDP per capita, which will actually measure the wealth or the standard of living, the wealth growth or shrinkage of individuals. And that would be a much better gauge. Now, why do I say this? Well, because think about how GDP is contrived. Let's say you're in the United States and you have a lot of illegal immigration, okay? And these people don't get paid very much, but they work and they spend money in the United States. They buy groceries. They do work. So they add to the GDP of a nation, but per capita they may not, because they have poor jobs. So it pulls down the living standards. Okay, but on the other hand, what if you're Japan? And Japan is a good example, because Japan's has not grown their GDP, national GDP, for years and years. Remember, they had deflation, but in actuality, they also lost population. So the standard of living really didn't go down. The worst, one of the largest companies, Italy is probably the worst, not Japan. See, so it's a difficult thing to do. By the way, GDP was invented in the 1930s. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, he came up with the idea. He wanted to see how the economy was doing. And there was no measure. Now everybody uses it. So what we think about the global economy and the growth and so on and so forth may not be, it's going to change, because think about this in Japan and China, where they had that one child per family. That means eventually their growth is going to start, the nationwide growth, GDP, will start to shrink. Now, that might not happen for a while, because the economy is growing right now, because it's catching up, it's growing fast. But this is the issue. The way we look at GDP is going to change. Because the more immigration you have, the better your GDP is going to look. But not necessarily GDP per capita. So it might be important that we start looking at it a little bit differently. That's all. It's just, I don't think it's worthless like some people do, because it does measure the wealth of the country, and you want the country's wealth to increase. But you also want the standard of living to increase, and that means GDP per capita. And how do you increase that? You also increase that with more productivity per capita, that kind of thing. Time for InvestTalk 101, getting organized. You have to do it to prevent money from falling through the cracks. I know people who have small IRAs or old 401ks. They're paying fees on those things, and they just forget that they're even there. The first step, then, is to take stock of what you have, what is out there. Then I would always suggest consolidate accounts as much as you can. You don't need 2, 3, 4 IRAs. You don't need 2 or 3 old 401ks and an IRA. Combine them all into one IRA. You can have an IRA, you can have a Roth IRA, you can have a 401k or a Roth 401k. I mean, try to just keep it simple as you can. Because then what happens is you lose track of what you're invested in and whether you should be invested in those things. Okay, so make a list. It's not that hard. Make a list of all your assets and where they are and what kind of accounts they are. Make a list. And then if you don't know what you can combine and what you can't, give me a call. I'll tell you. It's not that hard. So just try to consolidate it to a sensible number of accounts. I've talked to too many people where they have so many assets everywhere, and they've just lost track of what to do. Okay? That's our Invest Talk 101 lesson for today. If you have questions on the topic or any money matter topic, just check in. You can give me a call at 888-99-CHART. Or if you want, I can respond to any personal note, email that you send me. Just click on Contact Steve at investtalk.com.
Is there a place for REITs in your future? Find out more about them. Access a short list of real estate investment trusts that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. All you do is sign up to be an InvestTalk insider to get yours on investtalk.com, and it's free.
Hi, my name is John. I was calling from Walnut Creek. I just had a question about stop loss and stop limit orders. Are they more or less the same? And which one do you guys prefer to use? And also, regarding trailing stop losses and trailing stop limits, what's the best way to find the best dollar amount to use for that? Do you use a spread between the intraday high and low, or do you just look at the lows over the past month or two and decide where to set your stop loss or stop limit. Thank you guys very much. You have a very nice show. Bye-bye.
Okay, stop loss, stop limit. A limit order, whenever you have the word limit inside an order, that means at a specific price. So if you have a stop loss limit order, you would have it at $39.12. And when the stock hits that number, your stock is sold. Now, stop loss is, the number is not when the stock is sold. This number or below, it is sold. So let's say you have a stop loss at $39 and the very next price is $38. When it jumps from $39.01 all the way down to $38 and you had a stop loss at $39, you get sold at $38. I like limit orders much better because I know exactly what I'm getting. Now, so that's that, the answer to that question. I like limit orders better because there's specific prices you get out or get in when you buy a stock or you sell a stock or you get, you know, either side. Now, how to pick a trailing stop loss? How to know to where to put the stop loss order at? What price? That is a lot more difficult to answer. Some proponents talk about a 9 or 8 or 10% trailing stop loss, so it drops 10% from a current high, you sell it, some have that. Some, such as myself, you put it at a break of the support line, where's the support? Some have a break of a 20-day moving average or a 50-day moving average, breaks below that, you stop. You know, so on and on and on, there's too many of them to tell you what to do. And plus, the individual stocks themselves, some are very calm in trading. They go up a few pennies and down a few pennies at a time. And some are very erratic. You know, if they're small cap, low volume stocks, they could be hugely erratic. So you might want to put a different kind of loss and give it more room, you know, of an erratic stock. Whereas a, you know, big Johnson & Johnson or Chevron or something, you could be pretty tight. So it's hard to give you an answer. The first question is why do you want out of the stock? Because that should be something that you should know. Okay, I want out of it because earnings are going down, sales are going down, or I want out because the market is heading down, and I want out the, you know, as a protection or a hedge against further loss. You gotta have reasons. Okay, so that'd be number one. Good questions, though, and things this where to put a stop loss is something that investors and professionals have been struggling with for years. It's not that easy. It's something that's much more difficult than you would think. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm sorry. Okay, let's talk about the fracking revolution that is continuing. And it's cutting our trade deficit dramatically. The surge of domestic oil and natural gas production in states such as North Dakota, Pennsylvania, and Colorado continues to put downward pressure on the U.S. trade deficit. What would that do to the GDP? That's going to help GDP. Help it a lot. We don't import stuff. Everything we import detracts from our GDP. Everything we export increases our GDP. So each year, the U.S. imports more crude oil and petroleum-related products than it exports. Every year, we've been doing that for decades. But that trend has changed. Now, we could bolster this. Our federal government could bolster this by, you know, allowing us to export oil, natural gas, but they don't. There's restrictions, lots of restrictions. 888-99-CHART, this is Invest Talk.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is InvestTalk, a one-hour conversation about your money.
And as we move into the final segment of this hour, do you understand the potential place for gold in your portfolio? That may be an important topic to ask about right now on Invest Talk at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's go talk to John at Morgan Hill. Wants to talk about Walgreens. How you doing, John?
Doing good, Steve. So I don't know if you saw it, but you know Walgreens bought out the remainder of Boots Pharmacy, and they took a huge hit today, and they brought Rite Aid down with them.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, is this the new norm, or is it a buying opportunity?
This might be a buying opportunity because the news was when they're buying a competitor, and they could move their home office to a different country and reduce taxes. And, of course, that's been in the news lately, right? They said they're not going to do that. Well, remember, investors buy stocks to make money. They don't buy stocks for political reasons. And for political reasons, they decided to stay here in the United States. And I don't think investors like that thinking. I think that's one of the reasons why the stock got tanked today. It's still a really good company. I mean, this has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the company. They're going to make $3.84 next year, 15% increase. They're making $3.35 this year. It's a $59 stock. And at $3.84, it's growing 6-8% per year, per quarter, pretty steady, pays a nice dividend. You are looking for a place to buy, and right around $55 to $56 is a great place, and it's at $59 tonight now. I think you want to wait a few days to see if it settles down, John. And if it does, if it does settle down, you just buy it.
Okay, so if it sort of flattens out, doesn't go up or down, that's
exactly
a good indication.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for the call. Walgreens, it's going to be around. It's not going anywhere. It's just a decision that didn't sit well with investors. But it doesn't mean it's any worse company that was yesterday than it is today. It's the same company. And, you know, that's all political thing about, you know, moving headquarters outside the United States. And it's all because of taxes. Foreign taxes, corporate taxes are much less than United States taxes in many countries. They don't have the double tax situation they have here in the United States. Why do you think that foreign companies keep cash out? Domestic companies here that have foreign operations keep that cash outside the United States because they get taxed again on it. They've only been taxed at their level at the foreign wherever they made that money. They don't want to bring it back. I mean, there's things that we could do if we were smarter, we mean the United States, to try to make it a more friendly place to do business. I mean, we should. Richard, Castro Valley. How you doing, Richard?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I had a question on PCG. It's taken a hit in the last couple days. I've bought a little at 43 today. Should I wait till see what happens and go down to 42
or
wait till it goes horizontal?
Yeah, I talked about this, I think it was just yesterday, and that was exactly what I said. I said, don't buy it to the person called. Don't buy it. Wait till it trades sideways for a while because it's not done going down. I don't know where it's going to go. No one knows. So it fell again today, 73 cents to $43, which is about, 1.75% today. And it may stop right here because there's really good support right where it is. But I also can see it going down to $41, you know, because there's really good support. There's support at 40, 41, and 42. There's really good support at all three of those levels. And so it's going to go to somewhere down there, but it could stop today. But you really want to wait, Richard, for it to go sideways. Then pick up the rest of your position. Okay?
Okay.
Wherever that is.
Excellent. And when it goes over 5% yield, isn't that going to bring in a whole bunch of outside investors?
Exactly. See, and I mentioned this yesterday. I said the yield is 4%. This is Procter & Gamble, everybody. I'm sorry. P&G Company. It's the electrician. It's a utility. They pay 4.2% dividend. Yeah. So as the price goes down, that yield goes up, and it attracts people into it. I mean, 4.2% is pretty darn good, pretty good track. Man, I can get 4% of my money on a utility that, you know, is not going to go anywhere. It always will be a business. So it looks very attractive. If it goes to 5%, Richard, everybody's going to want to be a buyer of it. Right?
Okay.
So, yeah, it will stop. It will stop, and it will stop soon. Okay? Thanks, Richard. That was PCG. PG&E Corporation. PG&E. A utility. Before we close for the day, if you feel unsure of a term or concept of investing that we talked about on the program, just email me. You can ask me about it. I'll try to clarify it. So call the program or send me a personal email at investtalk.com. Just click on the contact Steve. Thanks for listening today, everybody. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein, everyone at KPPE Financial, we hope you'll join us again tomorrow on Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.